Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to Mario!
Hey, what's up? It's Mario Lopez. Another episode of LTM, Listen to Mario. And I've got a very special guest, Mrs. Lopez. My wife, Courtney Lopez, is joining me, along with my radio producers, Frazier and
Nichols.
Don't
say it like it's some afterthought, like...
Well,
along with my radio producer.
Well, you're not. What? With all due respect, you're not on the level of Mrs. Lopez.
No one is.
Let me just say, I'm a little upset it's taken this long for me to be
15
asked to
episodes.
Be on your podcast.
It's actually you
what do
and
I have to do?
Our third child. Our third child's first podcast. Does it count? Even though he's
close enough to birth.
It's close enough, right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for joining. I appreciate it. You know, I recently went to Washington, D.C., and got to tour the White House and just explore the city a little bit. And I've always teased you, but you know that later on, I actually have political aspirations, right? On a mayoral level. Seriously, you might laugh, but I get people encouraging me all the time,
shoot
even now,
the middle.
To go. No, you're a mayor of L.A.
Well,
you're in charge
of
nine million people. You're responsible for more people than most states. Seriously, and you've got a budget that's bigger than most states. So I'm not talking about mayor of going back to you know what I mean, Yuma, Arizona, or
you should do a reality show where you go back to your hometown of Chula Vista and become mayor.
Mayor of Chula Vista, they're in charge of a lot of people. And the mayor of Chula Vista is a big deal.
Let me ask you something.
But my wife is afraid to be like first lady of anything.
Let me ask you something because I
That's why I've been reluctant.
Yeah, I am so supportive of you. I can't be anymore.
If Melania
supportive.
Can do it, you can do it, honey.
Yeah, okay, but let me ask you: when you're a mayor, what is the wife's
duties?
Like, what are her duties? Because I don't feel her being on the same level as the First Lady of the United States.
You still take on. You like to be involved in certain charities or things that are important to you, right?
Right, I do.
So now you're going to have a bigger platform to be able to do that. I'm talking like it's already happened.
Well, I think,
to be able to do that and to raise awareness to it and more funds.
Okay. Will I still be able to wear workout clothes on the daily?
Oh, yeah. You're not really in the spotlight.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I think it's pretty much
be highlighted a little bit more.
It would be like your life now, except you would no longer have to do the radio show because he wouldn't be able to do the radio show.
Why not?
Well, because you're mayor, you can also do the radio show.
I'm going to be a multitask.
Why can't I take over the radio show? Actually, I'm not the mayor.
No, you could do that.
On with Courtney Lopez. I'd listen to that.
People like the show because of me. What are you talking about?
The hard part is you'll be fighting over whether or not we go to actually help him be mayor or whether we stay here and help you do the radio show.
No, you guys are coming with
I'm being serious. And who knows? After mayor, who knows? Right?
Okay, what age are we looking at for you?
I'm thinking about another 10 years. another 10 years, TV, whatever, and just, and we'll see where we're at right there.
I might run against you for fun.
Oh, okay. I was going to have you
I'm
on
just
the
kidding.
Staff,
I'm
but
kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
So, but you think I'm joking, but I'm telling you.
I know
later
you're
on.
Not joking. That's why I'm petrified.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that because this has always been in the back of your head, that there's this trip to DC basically like furthered that. A little bit?
Yeah, and talking with the people, and they actually asked me there if I had any sort of political aspirations. They actually think I could win. I'm not lying.
I already have name recognition going for you and face recognition going for you.
And hopefully likability and relatability, which is like, very important.
You know how to talk to people. You're super intelligent. You can sell, you know.
You can curse here, by the way.
Oh, I can?
You can sure. What?
I said she can curse if she'd like here.
I mean, you can curse if you want. It's not necessary.
But like, no, okay.
No, but I know she's struggling with it.
You're throwing out like it's a requirement.
You're super smart. You can literally sell Julio's dog poo-poo to people and say this.
Watch your language.
Is that cursing?
Okay, dog shit. Dog shit. That feels so good that I can finally say it and we can air it. You know, you are just good at bullshit.
And I could raise money. Which I think is really important.
Well, no, and that's actually a very good point, is a lot of politicians, they do need to have great bullshit abilities.
Yeah, because you tell them what they want to hear.
And one of the things,
first of all, I like to think of it as charm and charisma.
Well, that's what I'm saying. One of the things Mario has is a lot of charisma. Like, right. He can make people feel like they're the most important person in the room when they're not. And that's what politicians need.
Right.
And he's already got that. So that's a good thing in his favor.
So you keep that up, Frazier might be a chief of staff.
Oh, trust me. If you're going to win.
What would Nichols do?
Nichols? You need a whole staff. Everyone, there's roles for everyone.
But you're still not telling
right
me
here.
What he would
Deputy
do.
Deputy chief of staff. he'll still be my number two.
he'll just sit there and laugh.
I'd have to hear what Nichols has in mind.
Well, you have 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle could be a speechwriter.
Right. Everyone's going to play a part, including you, Mrs. Lopez.
So anyway, you went on a late night tour of the White House.
This was breaking news for a 10-year prediction from now. But yeah, so we went to the White House. We walked around the West Wing, which is the side of the building with the Oval Office. And it's got the Situation Room and the Executive Conference Room, along with all the offices and the administration. And it was cool because we got a tour at 9 at night. Which you wouldn't think you'd be able to. So late.
Can we ask how this happened, though? Because
I got a guy. I got a guy who's a friend.
You always have a guy.
And so it hooked me up. So it was a private tour. And I got to go. I literally got to go in the Oval Office. It's exactly how it looks on the West Wing. And,
it's oval.
And in every movie and show you've ever seen to a T.
But this is when Trump had just left to go to like Japan or something, right?
We just missed him. And had I gone earlier, I couldn't go earlier because other commitments. But Ivanka was waiting to give us a tour and to hang out, but she wasn't available at 9 at night.
Oh yeah.
Available. The White House is much smaller than what you would think it is too. I've been to Trump's actual office in Trump Tower. And believe it or not, that office isn't as grand as you would think. His apartment in there too. I've been to that, which looks like something out of like a Sultan's.
It's all gold,
it's
right?
All gold and very gaudy and out there, but his office itself, He loves to pile stuff on his desk, and it's
he's not organized.
No, he's just got. It looks like it's organized.
He's got
it's all
his
stacks.
System, right?
Yeah, he's got his.
Organized
it's just all,
chaos.
Yeah,
is what we call it.
Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff all over a desk. I always like more of a clean looking desk. He's just got but there's people that just like a lot of stuff on it, and then he's got a lot of tchotchke stuff on the side of his office.
Does he have his own bobbleheads in there?
No, he doesn't have his own bobbleheads.
Maybe at Trump Tower.
But what he did do, it's funny because he does like his office was cluttered in his at Trump Tower. In the Oval Office, he's the first president to take the flags of every battle that we've won, the U.S. has won throughout the years, and there's a lot of them, and he wanted them in the Oval Office. So now Oval Office is...
Where were they before?
They were in a big conference room right across from the Oval Office, which is a big room. And,
yeah. And in the Oval Office, what do they do in that one?
That's his personal office.
That's his personal office.
Which now there's only one way to get into. Before, there used to be like 6-7 ways. But
and that was my question. Of course, the one thing I thought of, did you see the room that she wore the blue dress in?
Monica Lewinsky, Dr. Clinton.
That's all I cared about.
Ever since then, yeah, I did see that
and
room.
And you did.
And ever since then, they closed off the other entrances, and now you have to go through where his assistant is to get into it, which I'm sure Trump was really upset about.
Yeah, because you can't really escape. But the way my understanding is, because I watched this whole documentary on the Clinton affair,
yeah,
My understanding is the way it works is there's the Oval Office, and then there's like this little side room in which goes to like another little private office. And there was another way to get in there.
Yeah.
But they've closed that. Like you said,
everything is
off.
Much smaller than what you would think.
Well, because it's an old, it's old. So,
and it's now, a house. It's, it, it is yeah, a house. And right. George Washington chose that site, I believe in 1791, actually. And they held a contest for different architects to design the house itself back in the day. He actually never lived there. The first president to live there, because it was finished in 1800, and the first president to live there was John Adams, our second president, and then every president's lived there ever since. And something else I learned when I was there is that the area itself, no one wanted that, that particular area where the White House is located. It's all swamp. It's really all swamp.
It was a literal swamp.
You know when Trump said drain the swamp?
Yeah, it was a literal swamp.
It was a literal swamp there. And nobody wanted there, so they said, let's just give it to the government. And so that's where the Capitol had. But it's not, it was already muggy, humid, nasty, and it's just not aesthetically pleasing. Now, when you see all the monuments lined up, it makes it cool. But if you were just kind of to break it down, it's not the prettiest, it's not the prettiest area.
And Melania can redecorate?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Every first lady that is now in its new administration, they can redecorate however they want. However they want. The whole house.
The whole house? I mean, that's a lot of...
If they choose, they don't have to, right? They can do it little by little.
They just pick stuff out. Other people do it.
Right. But it's... so the Oval Office, Trump kept the curtains... from the Clinton administration. That's
which
the only thing.
Or gold, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah, they're gold. Yeah.
He wanted to feel at home.
I didn't like the rug he chose. The rug underneath, it was kind of a weird rug. I kind of like the one that President Obama had. It was a solid blue one. It looked cool. And he changed it for another gold.
Some presidents will have new ones completely designed. I don't know
they're
if
all completely
that.
Designed.
Yeah.
You can keep the one, but like Obama's was, it was a cool blue one, but Trump got rid of that one. And both Obama kept that, the curtains too.
From Clinton. He brought them back or whatever.
Right. Yeah, right. So, and...
has anyone taken a black light to those?
I'm sure they were dry cleaned.
I'm sure they got, yeah. And so they can decorate however they want. In the pictures in the White House, they have like candid portraits of the current president's time. They're changed out every 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's
of certain stuff that he's doing. Wow. Some that he really likes, he's kept up there the whole time. Like there's some that he's where he's standing in front of when he went to visit North Korea, and he's standing in front of all.
Or when he had the summit or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. When he had the summit, and he visited Kim Jong Un, there was a couple of cool shots, and he's kept that one there since the whole time. So there's certain ones he likes. The president, he'll keep them, but otherwise, there's a lot of picks. They're changed every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
isn't that true?
I remember seeing some documentary that I watched when Obama was president, and it was like an inside look at stuff, and they were doing the same thing. Then they changed out all those photos all the time because. Every president has an official White House photographer that they pick, and that person follows around, just takes photos constantly. So they just constantly switch them out, which is cool. But back to the Oval Office, can't they switch out the portraits and stuff in the Oval Office?
Yes, and they usually, when the Democrat is in the office,
FDR?
It's usually FDR.
Yeah.
And then when it's a Republican, it's Roosevelt.
Okay.
So they switch between those two, So it's pretty interesting. And then just to walk around and all the history there, and the Rose Garden itself is small.
Were you picturing the history and all the old presidents that used to walk through those halls? I mean, were you like...
Yeah, because I walked through
every... Were you tripping out like, this is crazy?
Yeah, every president's walked through here.
That place is definitely haunted.
Does it feel haunted?
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up... You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He doesn't feel that way.
And then the helicopter, which is a really cool helicopter, not Air Force One, the plane.
Marine One, yes.
It lands at the exact same spot, and they practice all the time because they really got to get it on time. And there's three of them. So you never know which one the president is actually.
I can see Trump being like, I'm trying to sleep. And they're like practicing landing.
Yeah, not at night.
Speaking of, I've always wondered, being the president, do you ever get to sleep in?
He doesn't sleep normally.
He barely sleeps anyway. Trump says he sleeps like 4 hours a night or something, five hours.
Yeah, it's crazy. He doesn't look tired, which is crazy.
When you are president, you can kind of, in a way you can set your own schedule, but you have so much stuff going on that you could be, even if you're trying to sleep in, you'd be woken up because something's happening. They're updating you on things.
I mean, do you ever have a day off? No.
I think so much is going on. When I was there too, and who was it from? We were with some Secret Service people, but also with some people from counterterrorism. And they were telling me about the situation in Iran right now and the sanctions they put on and how severe it really is. And the money that they fund with all the terrorist groups around the world and all the attacks that they stop constantly. It's crazy when you think about it. It's so stressful all the time. So to think what he has to deal with all the time is pretty crazy all over the world, right? And then another thing is that I didn't know this. There's always press that's camped out, and they actually built them tents, like little nicer tents that are camped out there 24/7 in case there's some breaking news, and it's right by.
Well, there's a press pool that always travels with them too.
But there's one that's always and they literally, they're there, the reporters are changing out 24/7, but they're constantly there.
So is Melania still going back and forth between New York and DC?
She goes, which is really close. It's a quick
trip. No, I know, but
right.
She didn't want to, she was there.
The son, Baron, goes to school in New York. Now goes to school. Goes to school in DC.
Oh, he does?
But
he
the
does
first year, she stayed up there so they didn't pull him out of school.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
But then they both moved down.
And now he lives in DC and he's got a Secret Service detail.
I always wonder how she really feels. I mean, you get together with this man and he's just Donald Trump. And then if she could have foreseen the future down the road of what would have happened, like, because I don't think it's something that she
this
really wants.
First lady of the United
she
States.
She signed up for.
Yeah, I don't think it's something you can clearly tell. Like, she's doing what she has to do because she has to do it.
I mean, I saw some interview with him like a week ago, maybe. And they had asked something about her. And it was like, you know, she's the one who she was supportive of me running. She wanted me to do it and all that. But it's like once you're in, once you win, it's like your life changes completely.
Well, and even after, you're in a bubble. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm only asking for a friend because her husband wants to run for the mayor. And
don't worry.
I just know that it was something that
you can't be wilding out. All those late night bar crawls you like to do.
Yeah, when you're, yeah. You gotta curb that.
When your friend's husband runs for mayor, and if he wins, I'm pretty sure you could just chill at the house if you want. You don't have to go do anything.
Here's some fun facts about the White House that I remember. So it's got 6 floors, right? From the ground floor, state floor, second and third floor, and it's got a 2-story basement, and they keep a lot of old artifacts.
Well,
basically,
isn't there a bunker that's even deeper they don't tell you about?
There's even another like emergency bunker. There's all kinds of emergency. There's 132 rooms, okay, in the whole house. And the house itself is 55,000 square feet. So it's pretty big. And it remains the only private residence of a head of state, open free of charge. So the public can see it, but the public can only see
from the front.
Well, the east wing, too. They can't really go into the west wing. Yeah. They need to have special permission.
Does anybody else live in the White House with him?
Melania and Jared.
Besides the immediate family, but...
No, because the vice president has his own... they have another residence. It's not the White House. I forget what it's called.
The Naval Observatory or something?
There's people there 24-7.
24-7.
Oh,
yeah,
I
went at 9 at night.
There's like there's a crazy amount of staff there all the time and like all that, but...
Yeah, but D.C. is a trip. And the people there and all the bureaucrats and everybody's... It's just it's a trip. A lot of them leave in the summertime because it gets so hot.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to deal with anything.
George W. Bush used to actually... During the summer, he would just go and work out of the Western White House, which was his ranch in Texas.
Right.
Because that's the other thing is like every president... The opposite party always gives them crap about being like on vacation and blah, blah, blah. You're never really on vacation.
No.
When you're president, you're always working.
And you're always, and listen.
Whether you're Obama in Hawaii or Trump in Florida or whatever.
Computers and phones and what is he going to accomplish in D.C. that he couldn't accomplish in Florida or Texas or whatever the case may be?
And I was watching this National Geographic special on the Secret Service that came out a couple months ago. And they had like crazy access to Trump's actual detail.
Yeah.
And they went with them to, I think, Singapore for like that summit with Kim Jong-un and all that. And they were showing a lot of the things they do. They didn't show everything, but they were showing a lot of things they do to protect the president and how it really is this bubble that you're protecting one person, the amount of people and energy and
resources.
Preparation and resources that go into one person traveling for 1 or 2 days is insane.
And they go a couple days ahead of time to make sure everything is clear. Yeah, it depending on the situation there. I will say this, though, and I've always thought this about a president. It sounds cool in theory that anyone can run for president, right? But I feel, and I've always felt, you should at least be governor first. Before being a president. I feel like you should have to do at least one term of governor so we can see how you govern.
Well, you should have some sort of executive experience.
Right. But I think specifically a governor, because then it's like your own little country and we get to see how you manage that. And then we're going to see if we're going to vote for you. But if that was the case, then, you know, obviously maybe Trump would have never ran, or maybe he would have ran for governor of New York prior. But just regardless, whoever's running, I've always just thought that you would think that would be a prerequisite.
I think you end up with better presidents. Actually, I think a lot of our modern presidents have always been governors before they've been president.
Senators, but governors specifically. Yeah.
Obama is not one of those. And
Bush was a governor.
Bush was a governor.
Reagan was a governor.
Clinton was a governor.
Carter
was a governor.
Right.
Clinton,
Reagan, a lot of them were governors.
Can you vote for yourself when you're running?
Yeah, you have to.
Of course.
Well, I mean, you could vote for your competition, but that'd be dumb.
I just didn't know if it was like you can't vote for yourself.
No. There's
you're gonna be privy to all these rules.
I'll be voting for the other person. Asking for a friend.
No, I just and it's funny because as you get older, I've gotten more just politically aware of everything, but in the entertainment industry, unfortunately, you can't really be as vocal because it can be to your
detriment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So my close friends or family, you know how I feel, and I keep it that way. But other than that, I don't really vocalize it. I would say I'm in the people business, and I don't want to alienate any viewers or anything. And no matter which way you think, you're going to offend somebody, right? So, you know, for another 10 years.
I think the truth is, too, like if you're actually running for office, the point of that is to represent the people and do good things and pass policies or put in place policies that benefit the most amount of Americans possible.
Right.
So you're still in the people business.
Yeah, you are.
Like, it's just a different kind of thing.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's one of those things that as you get closer, then you do have to start being vocal about certain takes or situations and stands you make on certain issues, right? So, you know, we're not there yet.
Can I just say, though, I was disappointed on your behalf because I know you weren't allowed to take photos.
Yeah, that's right. You couldn't take pictures. I was so mad.
He was so mad.
And I was talking to the guards. I said, what if you take one? I said, what if you take one? I won't take it, but you take it of me. He's like, I can't, man. I gotta get dressed.
I think the only photo you got was in the press briefing room, right?
Yes, I wasn't even supposed to take it there, but I just went for it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just kind of went for it. You know what? Sean Spicer, former press secretary, came in.
Doppelganger to Melissa McCarthy.
Right, right. He's a little guy, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Very short. He's a
little
guy.
He looks really tiny.
They had to move the podium when he was there, but he was telling me some stories too. So he came and visited us the night before. We're having dinner and a real nice guy. And he was saying that the first time he went up there, that Trump told him, "I can't believe you went out there like and really just reamed into him."
He got a lot of shit for the way he was dressed, right?
That's not how I told you. Da da. And he railed into him. He goes, "That's it. I'm gonna get fired." And then he went to a second one. And he took to note what Trump was saying and he delivered just how he wanted to. And he goes, "That's what I'm talking about. That's the guy I hired." He came back like a football coach.
Nice.
All fired up.
Oh my God.
And he goes, "Then I knew I was okay." After that,
what was he wearing?
I forgot what he was wearing the first time.
He went out and I think it was when the whole thing about the crowd size at the inauguration, but he had like a really weird tie on and he looked disheveled and like, he just didn't look
I
as sharp.
This.
That's just how he rolls.
He didn't look, I know, but like, he didn't look as sharp as probably Trump wanted him to.
Some people, that's just how they roll.
Because it's like, I know, it's like you want to make a good impression, you know, the first outing, I guess.
He said he didn't like the way he handled it, or he just didn't. So he went off on him and I'm cleaning it up, but he was cussing up a storm.
He got like, how long was he press secretary for, like a year, a year and a half?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Because then it was him and then it was Scaramucci.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, Scaramucci was going to be communications director and he lasted a day.
Right. No, but press secretary for a hot minute too.
Well, they had named one. They were about to name Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And Scaramucci was going to be over that whole department.
Right. And then he was there for like.
And he came out and did a whole thing
right.
to the press. And it was like, wow, this guy is kind of like on it. And then he like really messed up on some interview and was gone in 2 days.
Yeah, no, that was the quickest. That was the quickest. And now Sanders has been there for a while. Is this all Chinese to you, honey?
I mean, I'm just worried about what he wore that day.
Yeah, exactly. It is interesting. And, you know, the thing is that everybody's older too, honey. So I feel like I need to wait.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating.
Well, then I'll still be too young. You need to wait another 10
No, he's
years.
Talking like 10 years for mayor, but if he's going to go beyond that, then he'll be age.
We'll see how that pans out right now. We'll see. Cause then
hopefully we get the Latino votes.
You better.
They should just be on board.
Yeah.
Never assume. That's the thing, is that you can't just assume that one group of people are a certain way. Latinos, for example, you've got a lot of Latinos who I know are very conservative,
right,
too. And some feel, just like all people, you have some that feel certain ways and some that feel certain. When you start kind of thinking that one particular group's just one way, then I think that's when you start to fail. Boom. I sound like I'm already running.
Damn it. Oh, my gosh.
So don't forget, new episodes of Listen to Mario dropping every Friday, allwithmario.com to catch up on the podcast. And please make sure you follow Listen to Mario on iHeartRadio and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. More fun next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
she's breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.